Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
You Cannot Say, a poem put to music and written by Jay Hatter. And the singer and the person who arranged the music, wrote it, is Shout Even Shy. Great poem turned into a song. Amazing work, the two of you. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio team chat group that hangs at allpoetry.com, one of the largest poetry sites out there, and you can join for free. If you join or are already a member, you can look us up on the group tab under A Team of Voices and knock on the door. I'll meet you there. You can hang out with us, and we post the links in the room so that you can click on them and follow along and comment and write to the prompts as much or as little as you'd like. If you'd like to call in and participate, the number to call is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And love to hear from you. And in the meantime, I am going to start opening some lines. And I am going to start with the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life, the owner Kay and her hubby Steven. Hey, you guys, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Glad you're here. And right behind them at the moment is Miss Allie Sunshine. Hey, Allie, welcome to the show. Glad you're
Hello,
here.
Hello, Deb. Hello, Stephen and Kay.
Hello.
Good to hear from everyone. And not sure if my big brother's going to make it this evening. He's taking care of something, so we will see how that goes. In the meantime, I like to get things kicked off with our dynamic duo because they always have just finished their own radio show on Mondays, The Mortuary of Shadows, when they scoot over here to participate with us. So I am grabbing Kay's link and putting it on the board so she can show us her brilliance and get this show on the road. So, Ms. Kay, when you see yours, please take us away.
Okay. Let me get there. I have a terrible habit of sweating. Okay.
Me too.
I call... Yeah. Try and get me to sit still. Good luck with that one. Okay. I call this Nature Borrows Its Wisdom and Blood to Flesh. Red bay and rouges of a memorable rose, fired brick and coral's nest, as diamonds of feathers, flocks, refineries of course, as a topiary tint and trellises of mind, curled through twigs, times of mint to all of creation, yesterday's inner glow of sun porches and breezeway notions, sweeps aviary basin of wings, through deep forest brown of rockweed reeds, trace in inkwells, disparities, thresholds, the tope of tails, a place where the river's edge, scarlets, and palm.
Gorgeous imagery in here. Wow. Okay, for starters, I really love the title, Nature Borrows Its Wisdom in Blood to Flesh. Whew. Powerful title right from the get-go. Red bay and rouges of a memorable rose, fired brick and coral's myth, as diamonds of feathers flock. And I see that, and in the art, there's there's a goldfinch, and there's the, I don't know if that's a some type of eagle or a hawk, but it's gorgeous, so it made me think of the flight, the feathers in your photo. I don't know why, but I really love the word topiary, so that it's the topiary tint and trellises of mind. I thought that came out really cool. And I think my favorite part is yesterday's inner glow of sun porches and breezeway notions sweeps the aviary bathing of wings. The imagery there is awesome, but yesterday's inner glow, I love that metaphor there. And at the end, the tope of tails, a place where the river's edge, scarlet. And I like that it was used as a verb. It's scarlet. It flows red. I think I really, really get a kick out of that. And this is a lot that you, as you always do, that you packed into a brevity. And I know I've said it before, but it's really harder, much harder to score high with brevities than it is, longer, more words for them to play with. So you're getting better and better at shortening these and still rocking the 10s, Kay. It's a really impressive image-filled gem here. Fantastic work. And before I get you another comment, let's say hello to Liquid Davidge, a.k.a. Linda, from Team of Voices Radio and LCN Radio. Hey, doll, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb, nice to be here.
Did you happen to hear Kay read? I don't know when you got here.
No, I didn't hear her read, but I read her poem earlier. Excuse me. And I thought it was just beautiful with all its rich colors and textures. You could almost feel the beauty in this lovely piece and just read about it. And I was delighted about the alliterations were teasing the page, along with the superb imagery and a metaphoric brilliance I've come to expect in Kay's work. I thought you did a nice job, Kay. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
I like that metaphor.
You're welcome.
Wow, that was a great metaphor itself. She is a metaphor queen, that's for sure. Allie, what did you think of Kay's poem?
I said that it was a very amazing job. I loved the line, "As diamonds of feathers flock," because it goes to show how special and unique feathers are. Much like diamonds, no two are the same. I loved the imagery. It really drew me into your poem, Kay. Good job.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, can you comment for Kay? And then tell us what's going on at A Poetic Slice, and then read us a poem.
Oh yeah, I definitely liked the way you went with the direction you went with that picture. It's a beautiful picture, and I was looking at it too and thinking that it's kind of odd. I don't know if it was probably done purposely, how the predators are on the right side and the prey on the left, possibly.
Yeah.
And she's right in the middle, maybe stopping the fights, maybe. I don't know. But I thought that was kind of cool, and I think the imagery kind of touches on that. But it also, in my comment that I wrote on your poem, that it also makes me think of our breakfasts on the deck and our furry children. Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful write on.
Thank you. Those last two lines, hopefully.
There you go. Let's see. Our next show is The Poetic Inklings at 10 p.m. Eastern. It is the one-word prompt of the month, and the word is luciform, which is an adjective that means resembling light in appearance or having, in some respects, the nature or qualities of light. That is the prompt to write to for Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. And let's see. Thursday, we're having A Movement of Sound, our annual celebration of George Michael and his birthday, which is 2 days later, but we're going to celebrate his birthday on Thursday by listening to his music, learning about his music, and reading a few poems inspired by that music. And then it's Sci Friday on Friday, and we're looking at the science fiction / horror film Aliens, starring Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, and what's his name? Bill Paxton.
That's that movie with what's his name. Hold on one second before you read, though. Let's say hi to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how you doing?
What's up, Wayne?
Nice to see you there soon.
You're just in time to hear Stephen read. I know you weren't here when Kay was reading.
Yes,
so sit back and take a load off a moment.
All right. I really like this picture a lot that I grabbed because it reminded me of somebody. And I call this when estuary and runnel meet, music is made so sweet. A raging river runs through me with you, within you a calming lake. My bends and rapids cut through grit, your waves unlax partake. Driftwood saturates and sinks below, a belly filled with snags. Eroding banks to gravel and mud, tottering trees do fall and sag. Smooth mirror of beauty skies reflect, white swans glide through wakeless. Tired hands caress the ebbing tide, silent barms increase the deepness. But when roaring rillet meets the tarn, the music rises into air. Our waters mix and sing of us, at depths no others dare. End poem.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really like this. And you know, I think I can take a wild guess and guess who the photo reminded you of, just saying. But I really love the title. When estuary and runnel meet, music is made so sweet. Just a little bit of romance that's right there in the title is really cool. And then you have some fabulous flow and rhyme in this brilliantly detailed piece. A raging river runs through me within the calming within you, a calming lake. My bends and rapids cut through grit. Your waves unlack partake. Just like the water and the rapids there, the romance is kind of like oozing here. Driftwood saturates and sinks below, a belly filled with snags, eroding banks to gravel and mud, tottering trees do fall and sag. So there's like different emotion that was playing in that stanza, but yet still brilliantly worded. And I was going to continue to dissect, but there might be a couple of people that would dare to want to say something about it, so I won't take them all. But the last two lines, our waters mix and sing of us at depths no others dare. Geez, did you melt, Kay? That's beautiful, Stephen. It's such, and another thing, I know we don't all write for the score from AutoRank. It's just a way for us to try and write better than ourselves, like if we go up a ladder. And it's harder, I've already said, with brevities, but it's also really hard when you're trying to emphasize so much love and devotion and tenderness. It seems like the emotions aren't a favorite. But yet, it seems like AutoRank really loved this one because it's a 10. And, I mean, it's because of that beautiful, bold imagery that you put through here, the way you combine the imagery with the little nuances of love and tenderness is really brilliant. I think it came out excellent. Let me get you some comments. Let me go to Wayne.
Yes, this is a great metaphor, isn't it, to blend the picture into the poem. It's a perfect blend of ebb and elbows and waves and winks and bellies and banks. This is a wonderful way with the rhyme. And like the last stanza, he said, but when the roaring rillets meets the tarn, the music rises into the air, our water is mixed and sing with us, the depths and weather's there. Great job, R. Stephen. I love the poem all the way through.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Yeah, I thought it was a very lovely tribute to your wife, Stephen. This was a powerful piece with such beautiful imagery and a lovely metaphoric flow to it. I love the last verse, so pretty, and shows the love you have for your wife. I think you did a great job, Stephen. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And I would have Allie comment, but she's the next reader, so I'm going to go directly to the person who inspired this beautiful poem. Kay, what do you think?
Well, no, I think this is beautiful. I mean, yeah, I know. You've never been easy, but neither have I. But at the same time, at the end of the day, we know how to balance each other out, too. So I'll be the poem and like for you, as long as you also be a calm lake for me.
Great comment. And Miss Allie, will you comment for Stephen, please?
Yes. Stephen, I couldn't pick just one line from your poem because the whole entire poem was full of amazing lines. I think I put tribute as the word, but I think that's the wrong word. But I said it was an amazing tribute to an amazing poet. You are so talented, Stephen. And I believe my poem is up.
It is up, and great comment. Thank you.
I changed my title on it a few times, but I think I'll stick with Gray Sky to Blue Sky. Rain falls from the sky and onto their faces. The rain is a symbol of fears, the tears that they have cried for the past month and 5 days now. I lay in bed at night, paralyzed by the rain falling from the sky, by the tears running down my face, but I don't let the rain stop me. Instead, I let it rain. I accept the fact that I have to live in the moment, no matter how hard the moment is at times, I do my best to live in the moment. I let it rain by accepting my past and my present. My past is what makes me a survivor. This week makes me cry happy tears, as it's the week of my birthday. Friday I turn 18. I wonder how I made it all these years, crying, laughing, shaking. It's truly a miracle to have made it to this day. I spent most of today in physical pain, shoulders ached, back was all sorts of tight. I was also in emotional pain, tears, anger, sadness, anxiety. But I still managed to smile despite it all. I managed to relax, which isn't super easy to do at times. I went outside and the hose squirted me in the face, creating a misty feeling, and in the midst of the feeling, a butterfly flew past me and filled my heart with joy. It was the sign I needed today that there's always hope. I believe the butterfly was my mother. I broke down into tears, but I didn't stop the tears. I let it rain because that's the best thing I could do. And now I'm letting it rain again because I have been having a rough few weeks, but you all have truly made me feel at home. I love you all, whether or not I have rain pouring down my face or not. Butterflies make me smile. And so I hope this poem made at least one person's day or night at least a little bit better. End poem.
Great read, Allie. I really, really like the fact that you tied the visit from your mom to the butterfly. The butterfly is definitely one of the symbols that people relate to signs like cardinals and the butterflies and stumbling across a feather. There's just these different things. And the thing is, they tell you, for example, when you see that butterfly, whomever the last person you were thinking of is probably who it's from. So if you felt like it was a message from your mom, then my heart says it was. It was a visit from her letting you know she's okay. And I think I've said this before, we're often fighting the tears or fighting letting people realize that, you know, we actually are emotional beings. But I think that the fact that you cry shows you care to begin with, and it's cleansing, and that it's really bad for you if you try to hold it in. I don't really think that you ever should, you know what I mean? So you have been writing your feelings out on the page for us all, and the more you do, the more we can feel you in the words, like this poem. And, yeah, I can understand the anxiety of all the different changes and things that are going on right now, but you are a butterfly, and you're flitting across all these with, you know, your struggles and with your joys, and that's kind of what life is. So just keep on living it. I think this was an excellent share. And before
Thank
I
you
get
Tom.
You another, you're welcome, hon. Before I get you another comment, excuse me. Let's say hi to Sweet. Sweet.
Hi, Sweet
doll.
Hi, Sweet.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello. Hello.
Oh, there's a voice I missed. So glad you're here.
Thank you. There's a voice I missed.
I'm going to get a comment from Stephen and Kay in case they want to go eat or something. So I'm going to start with Kay, please.
Well, yeah, I like the way this reads because, as I said, without the rain, there can't be sunshine. I can get that. You know, life itself, it's all about changes and moving with the changes and with the past, taking that with you, but also growing from it too. For me, as I said, when I see dragonflies and cardinals, they make me feel better because they are my messengers. So I always have my eyes open for my messengers. So I get that. It's a wonderful rite, and happy early birthday.
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment, Kay. And Stephen, please.
the purpose of what you said, honey, because it's kind of, I think, the direction I took, too. Because I do like this poem as well, Allie. It is always best to release those tears rather than bottle them up. And kind of like what Kay said, this makes me think of the old saying of how without the pain, then good days would just be just another day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you have to have the good and the bad, unfortunately, or else the good won't be good. But, yeah, this is definitely an excellent write. And, yeah, like Kay said, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Stephen. And I definitely agree that without my struggles and the harder days, good days wouldn't seem that good.
Very true. Yeah. Great comment, both of you. Thank you so much for calling. And Linda.
Yeah, Allie, I couldn't have done a better job. This poem was so well structured, and it is so beautifully written, and I'm stunned by your eloquence here. And yes, butterflies do signify angels and the ones that we've lost. And I love how you put it here. It was the sign I needed today. There's always hope. The butterfly I believe the butterfly was my mother. And yes, there is always hope. No matter what happens, we always have hope in our lives. So keep on believing that, my darling. You are my angel, and I so appreciate you. And this poem was absolutely stunning. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome, Allie.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
After the rain comes sunny days. And with rain, good things come out of good rain. You got a rain. You know, you grow, and you become a better person. If you don't experience the bad, you can't enjoy the good. Rain is good as long as you don't drown. And you need to have a birthday party and relax, and because life can be good. Enjoy your birthday. Have a big party. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Welcome.
Awesome comment. And I don't know if Sweet dialed in time to hear.
I did not, unfortunately.
I didn't think so. I didn't want to be rude and not ask, but I was pretty sure you did not. Okay.
I would love to stay on and comment on the rest, but I've had a day. Is it
okay if I go and send you the rest later? That's totally fine. I understand you got a lot going on, and I appreciate you calling and sharing, and try to enjoy your birthday, doll.
Thank you.
Okay, now, let me see. I am going to go and find the link for Wayne's poem and put it on the board, and I will play that SoundCloud.
It's not highly rated, but I like the way it came out.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said this poem isn't rated very high, but I enjoyed writing it.
This poem is called In My Forest. If you truly love nature, you'll find beauty everywhere. And when you find nature's beauty, be sure to share. I walked amongst the blooming blossoms in perfume patches, saw the miracle when a blue-haired eggs hatches, saw the dew dance on the daffodils and dandelions at dawn, felt the love of the doe for the bony-legged fawn, and listened to the cadence cry after the sun has departed, taste the pureness in the roaring thunderstorm when started, but never saw such beauty as in the eyes of a lost stranger. Dried the tears after showing there was no danger. Dined in the den I have called home for years. Calmly watched as my guests lose their fears. We walked in the bluebonnet flowers down by the Crystal Creek to observe wonders of nature, the only thing we seek. Her auburn hair glows like sunlight on autumn leaves. When gone, my heart will hang like a twisted ivy, I believe. This paradise is not her home, nor ever will be, but this place she will visit and be with me. She has brought me joy and showed she cares. Wish she would stay and reside with us bears. And
wow, Wayne. There was so much tenderness in your voice when you were reading, like the compassion was overflowing in my forest. If you truly love nature, you will find beauty everywhere, and when you find nature's beauty, be sure to share. I've walked amongst blooming blossoms and perfect patches, saw the miracle when the blue heron's egg hatches. The imagery, the rhyme, the color, you were really, really brought this photo to life, saw the dew dance on the daffodils and dandelions at dawn, fell in love with the doe for the bony-legged fawn. I mean, you got your alliteration with perfect rhyme and excellent images and tons of word bank words, and those were optional. They always will be from now on. So, you know, but I love the fact that you're packing in the color, even though you're not being, quote, forced to do it. And I mean, I could almost smell the flowers when you were walking through the blue bonnets and stuff like that. I mean, and like I said, I can't emphasize enough, there was a calming respect in your voice as you read. So this was like the total package. It came out really beautiful. Awesome share, Wayne.
Thank you very much.
Let's see what my sweet thought.
Well, this is just sweetness dipped in a honey, Wayne. I just love this. I think my couple of lines is, saw the miracle when the blue heron's egg hatches. Tasted the pureness in the roaring thunderstorm. And dried the tears after showing there was no danger. I really like that line. Dried the tears after showing there was no danger. I think that calm is right in that little line there. There are so many times when we walk into a place without knowing what's going on, and we have that anxiety and everything, and to be calmed and just, you know, here, let me help you, let me show you, and to have our tears dried after showing there's no danger. I really, 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 really like that line, Wayne. What a beautiful piece.
Thank you. Thank you, sweet.
Beautiful comment. And Linda?
Yeah, you know, Wayne, you've kind of encaptured the rapture of the forest in this lovely piece. I really loved how you brought in the lady to walk with the bear, signifying the strength and the beauty of the forest. This piece is so enchanting, and I thought it was a great right, Wayne. Thank you for sharing it, sweetheart. Beautiful.
Well, thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it. Yeah, the picture kind of led me in that direction. The bear looked like he's so tender.
Yeah, I love that you picked that one because I picked the other bear one.
Right.
And I was going back and forth, which bear picture should I pick?
It has a good picture. I like
this woman's art, amazing, isn't it? I really, excuse me, I really expected Sweet to have a little bit harder of a time picking hers, but the first one screamed at her, and that's what it, you know, that was plenty. But I wrote her a little note. There's other canine, and there's a couple of whales, and there's an elephant, so you should grab them for future use, because for some reason a lot of them steered towards Sweet in this particular subject. But anyhow, again, I think that's gorgeous. And I just put Angels on the board, and I'm going to read for her, and then we'll have Linda's and then Sweet's. So if you click on Angel, her poem is called Rain on Me by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Your love rained down on me as if it was the only love in existence. I let it drench my body from head to toe, shower of love. The rain cleansed my soul, reaching my heart, shrouded in misted clouds, lost in the moment, in desired reality. The heavens were blessed to view the scenic beauty, the physical beauty, as love swept us away. Earth's halo of colors brings sweet laughter's call, flitting on soft, rain-misted breezes. How I could taste you in each delicate drop, dancing amongst my taste buds, burning your essence into my core, your being singed upon the intricacies of my mind, my heart yours to take as I stare into the kindly composed composition of your eyes. I truly have found love. With open arms, I dive deeper into dreams manifested before me. They fall like rain. Rain on me. End poem.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say that's breathtaking. And the quote she wrote to was by Longfellow, and it's the best thing one can do when it's raining is to let it rain. And I bet you he never imagined inspiring something so beautiful with that quote. I actually think that this is my new favorite by her. I loved the wording here. I love the way it feels. It was one of those poems when you start reading, it pulls you in and you could feel it inside as you were trying you try to put the right inflections and stuff on it, because it's never the same as when you read for somebody else rather than your own. And you always want to do justice for the person that you are asked to read for. So hopefully she'll like how I handled this, because it was so touching that I could feel it. I think it's a brilliant piece. Thanks for sending it. Honored to be your reader. Let me go to Wayne.
Okay. I said, this is a wonderful ride to the picture. You brought it to life, even the taste. He's taking a taste as he's looking at his lips in the picture. I see every word you wrote in this poem. I see a word you wrote in this poem in the picture. It's a wonderfully emotional poem, and you did a great job with it. Love it.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And how about you, Sweet?
Sorry. I thought it was beautiful. I mean, she has such a beautiful way of using words anyway. But Earth's halo of colors brings sweet laughter's call, sitting on soft rain, misted breezes. What a lovely image that is. I mean, she writes some of the most romantic, beautiful things. And if I want to think of love poems and soft clouds and pretty billowy things, I think of Angel. And there you are. Just another fantastic poem from her.
I second that. Thank you, Sweet. And Linda, what do you think?
Well, this was so lovely, with some beautiful soft imagery and awesome metaphor. I think she brought light to the page with her beautiful lines, one being more beautiful than the next. And it's hard to pick out a favorite line in Angel's stuff because they're all so beautiful. She just has a way of bringing beauty to the page, and I get lost in her words. So thank you, Angel, for sharing this beautiful piece with us.
Awesome comment, and yours is on the board, Doc.
Okay. Piece is called Hope and Dave. On a cliff on a mountain by the forest of Gem lived a bear and a parrot who were very best friends. The bear, it appeared, could dance all the while the parrot, it seemed, could sing songs in bear style. So as the day passed, the two had some fun, singing and dancing in the warm, beaming sun. Now the bear's name was Hope, and she loved to go fishing, and the parrot was Dave, who was, for Hope he was wishing for fish that they both loved to eat for breakfast and dinner and in between treats. And other than that, they played and they romped, they sang and they danced and they twirled and they stomped. Life was so lovely, the sunshine so bright, the love of these friends was a beautiful sight. One afternoon when Hope took her pole, she was off to the creek by the red fox's hole. The best place to fish was where the fox laid, and when Hope got bored with the fox, she could play. But on this fine day, something came near. It filled up their hearts with a bundle of fear. Man was the one who came with his gun to shoot a fine bear to man was great fun. And through the trees came a deafening sound. Hope then let out a bellowing sound. She ran back to Dave as fast as she could, but then she fell down not feeling so good. With blood gushing out, all the animals hushed. Dave came to Hope in a terrible rush. I'm sorry, said Hope. Her voice was so faint. It's time to start praying to Francis the Saint. So the animals prayed, and they all held their breaths, that today wouldn't bring the day of Hope's death. But alas, Hope did die from the bullet of man, the scariest thing in all of the land. The moral is, for Hope to survive, the bullets must cease so the creatures can play with a heart full of peace. End poem.
My goodness. Wow. Talk about emotion being pulled from the art and from the listener and from the writer. You vested me so much in this scene, in this friendship between the critters and the, I mean, I'm blown away. The bear, it appeared, could dance all the while the parrot, it seemed, could sing songs in bear style. I mean, it's just that stanza alone is enchanted. Wishing for fish that they both love to eat for breakfast and dinner and in between treat. I mean, the little nuances that totally bring this art to life in story form, but on this fine day, something came near it, filled up their hearts with a bundle of fear, and then I thought, uh-oh. And it's like my heart broke. Man was the one who came with his gun to shoot a fine bear. To man was great fun. And it just made me think of different people that, I mean, I'm sorry, it's just my opinion, but killing something just so that you can hang it on your wall or stand it in your corner as a trophy is a sad thing. And for the man, it was great fun. I mean, it wasn't like he was looking for some food. He was having fun, and that's so sad that beautiful friendship between the bear and the parrot was broken up over that bullet. And then, in all honesty, Linda, I was waiting for you to give us this enchanted ending, and you didn't. And the more realistic approach grabbed me by the gut, which is a powerful tribute to your pen. So, like, brilliant, as always. Amazing story, and I really love that it ends with the moral. And You're an impressive, impressive story poet.
Thank you,
Wayne.
Deb.
You're welcome. What do you think, Wayne?
I think this is a great tragedy she has wrote. Sad, hope had to die. We all need to keep hope alive. It's good for all to have hope alive. Great storyline with wonderful meaning, perfect rhyme as usual, and I love the parable. You did an amazing job with this. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And, Sweet, while I put yours up, will you comment for Linda?
I don't even know how to comment for Linda. I don't have words to make her understand what a great human being she is and what a fabulous poet she is. Just totally emotional wreck. I mean, to bring out that much emotion in such a wonderful rhyming poem, and I'm glad that you just hit us right in the heart with this and hit us right in the moral gut. I mean, it's just fantastic because it comes out as, you know, it starts out so whimsical and childlike and innocent, and then, bam, here's what it is. Here's reality. You know, look at your world. Not everything is so peaches and cream and rose-colored glasses. This is what we're dealing with, people. Pay attention. And you did a really great job. And I really hate reading after you because you're so good.
Oh,
thank you, Sweet. That's so nice.
Oh, very powerful. Very, very powerful.
Oh, and I forgot. I wrote this to the quote number 7 by Jacques Cousteau. That man,
Linda Graham?
For most of history, man has had to fight nature to survive. And it's in this century he is beginning to realize that in order to survive, he must protect it, which is so honestly true. The blatant slaughter of animals for trophy has got to end.
You know what really sucks, Linda? Is I wrote to the same exact quote.
Oh, right on.
I am sure it's equally
that.
Brilliant. So, like,
yeah.
We've been waiting and Jones in our sweet pea. So, like, suck it to us.
Okay. I don't see it. Oh, there it is. Okay.
My bad. It is now.
Yeah, there it is.
Sorry. Okay. This is called Chasing the Devil. Sister, can you hear the howls of the slaughtered in the wind? Thunder screams as teardrops of shame when my ancestors fall in the rain. Lightning races across the skies, chasing the devils who stole my children's lives. Through the centuries, the moon has crossed the skies. My pack has fought the elements to survive. Roaming the Rocky Mountains, running through the valleys, stalking prey in the forest, nature's perfect plan. We stood proudly on the rocks above the waterfalls and howled, our voices echoed to our kin for miles. Then the voice stopped, and we heard nothing till the sounds of our own dying were heard in our ears. I hide myself in caves and was ashamed to be wolf. I was a majestic creature forced to live alone without her pack. A lonely world. I want to seek out other lone wolves to fulfill a broken spirit, to find a way back home. I wander the earth looking for my family. I've grown afraid for all of us. Our rivers are toxic. Our forests burn. The great grizzly is dying. The butterfly and the bee. What more can leave me and a child? I beg you, listen to me. We must find a way to save our planet, stop the humans from their evil plans before the devils begin to chase us. And poem.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I was right. Okay, for starters, look at those long stanzas. you weren't kidding when you said you were really moved by this one. I'm in love with it, I believe you said. Sister, can you hear the howls of the slaughtered in the winds? Thunder screams as teardrops of shame from the ancestors fall in the rain. Lightning races across the skies, chasing the devils who stole my children's lives. I want to cry right there. Just the thought of that, of the shame from the ancestors and from the stolen lives of the children of the so many. We stood proudly on the rocks above waterfalls and howled, and our voices echoed to our kin for miles. Then the voices stopped, and we heard nothing until the sound of our own dying we heard in our ears. Oh my gosh, the heartache, the sadness, the overwhelming. How can this be? I think I just used the word I wanted to say for last, overwhelming. I hide myself in caves and was ashamed to be a wolf. I was a majestic creature forced to live alone with her pack, a lonely world. I want to seek out other lone wolves to fulfill a broken spirit and find a way back home. I mean, how sad and heartbreaking and lonely to be that wolf, to be a human, to be any being that feels so broken and defeated and that it feels it needs to hide out in a cave somewhere. I mean, from the multiple different ways you can take this from ancestors to, so it's not just from the animal perspective, it's from the people perspective, it's from world perspective, it's from the history that sometimes isn't the best, but yet you just put this so incredibly potent with your words. And like, wow, a lonely world, I want to seek out other lone wolves. It's just sobering to think of the solitude. And yeah, I can see you in there, in that photo suite. That's you, and you're just like feeling for this beautiful creature so deeply that your pen erupted with brilliance. And I missed you, and I'm so glad you're back. Great poem.
Thank you.
Linda, you want to go first?
Yeah. wow, that was so intense that it brought tears to my eyes, sweet. You dove right in and pulled at my heart. I mean, intensely, from the start of this poem, it's just like strong and just so meaningful. Your stanzas are wonderfully written. the imagery in this is intense but very sad, and it's the truth. This is what's going on, and you hit the truth on the button. I don't know what else to say, because this truly brought tears to my eyes, that the wolves are going through this.
Thank you. And
you wrote it from the wolves' feelings as well as the man's feelings, that the wolf is the one that she hid herself in the cave and was ashamed to be wolf. What a sad, sad thing that had to be for these creatures to be ashamed to be who they are. And we need to do something about this. Like I said before, the slaughter of animals for trophy and just for fun. Some people just do it for the fun of it and not to eat, you know. I truly believe if you have to eat it, if you have to kill to eat to survive, that's one thing. But to go out there and kill something for the fun of it is terribly, terribly wrong. And your poem is so strong. I think this should be a front page pick. And now that I know how to do that, I will nominate this for front page pick. Well written. Thank you, sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree with that sentiment for sure. I'm thrilled you know how to do it. Wayne, what do you think?
Yeah, I like this poem a lot. It reminds me of the Colorado area out there with the mountains and everything where I used to live. The wolves hiding above the waterways. Wolves like everything else out in nature is in danger, and I hope it's not too late to save them. But this poem is a poem of weakened wilderness, and I love the poem and emotion in it. And you did a great job this week. I like it a whole lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. Fabulous poem. Okay, now, if you guys would click on the poem that Titus put on the board, I will play his recording. And right before I push play, I just want to shout out to Titus's angel that he writes about with love so often, because he happened to share last week or so that today's her birthday. So happy birthday to her. And in the meantime, we will listen to him read his incredible poem. And it's another from his Earth Angel collection. And this one's for Mocha 868. So I bet you she was excited, because we usually are when he blesses us with one of these. So click on it, and I will push play.
Okay. I can't find it.
I think somebody commented, so it's like three lines up. I can put it again, though. No problem. Give me a second.
Let me see.
Yeah, no, it's just there was some conversation
on
the board.
Yeah,
oh,
I
okay,
did.
Cool.
I got it.
Everybody got it? Here we go. I'll wait a minute, Wayne. Let me put it up there again just to be safe. And go. And
here it is. Thank you.
Cool. Okay, and here we go.
Mocha 868. Earth Angel of Deliberation. Malevolent skies I'd have wished to see no more, but to lighten them of course a mocha. The transparency it brings upon what is an adagio, converging night. Her light refrain how far a distant day becomes mosaic. Her self-domain assures a tentative side of the dawn. And not to unleash alternative reply, how luscious sky can be created, why, you are my hero. Imagine. No urgency, how calmly influenced, stirring coffee, 'tis like she. Letting go, it is like do or die, one can imagine the healing concept. To feel next to being overcome by beauty. The duty of us all to write is unseen, opposed to letting go of this butterfly. A relishing optinio, et tenioto, sicitur as astra. As the spring is the depth of winter, are you to assure us tenacious belonging to this kingdom? As this freedom, it is our birthright. Righteously the day is delight is far-fetching. It may seem we remember obvious acquaintance with the stars in stupor, here equivalent amoroso. Regal bearing shows repeated refrains do extend like petals do, thus far embroidered as I have never seen before. Flourish, let our words endure gracious melody, not forgetting Jupiter, whose reign o'er love does bring narrations, procure many moons, to compel a following since time begun, observed as laws the natural habitat Mocha brings. is a smoother tempo.
Well, malevolent skies I have wished to see no more but to lighten them. Of course, Hermoka, the transparency it brings upon, gorgeous, her self-domain assures a tentative side of the dawn, and not to unleash alternative reply, how luck a sky can be created, why? You are my hero. I love that. Wow. Imagine no urgency, how calming. Influence stirring coffee is like chai. Letting go is like do or die. I like the rhyme in there, the inner and outer. Where's that other? Opposed to letting go of this butterfly, our relishing of Tino. I'm not going to try and say those, but righteously, the day of delight is far-fetching, it may seem, we remember. Regal bearing shows repeated refrains do extend like petals do. The imagery there is outstanding. You think about a flower that's blooming and the petals are spreading and trying to reach for the sun so they can flourish. I think that this came out excellent. And like his, if you looked at nothing else that he wrote and just glanced through his Earth Angel collection, you'd be blown away, let alone some of the other stuff he has out there. There's a staggering number of us that he's written these for. So, I mean, to think that someone spent that much time doing a tribute to so many of the poets here on All Poetry is an incredible thing itself. And then for them to be so beautiful like this is an incredible feat. And before I get some comments, I want to again shout out happy birthday to the one and only Angel for Titus. I hope that you're doing something fun. Sweet, what do you think?
I think it's stunning. It's absolutely lovely. You know, Titus puts a lot of work into writing these. I mean, they're such a tribute to his angels as they're put, his earth angels. I love the inner rhyme, like you said. I think it's beautiful. But I love her light refrain, how far a distant jade. I love jade, so I thought that was really becomes mosaic. Herself domain assures a tentative side of the dawn. I just really love how he can use his descriptions to just bring this subtle light and this subtle beauty. And Mocha has that subtle beauty about her, especially her poetry and the way her voice you hear her voice and you kind of fall into that lull of who she is. So I think he described her so well and so beautifully. I think she's the person that he put in here. I think he just did perfectly. It was just very beautiful.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Yeah, you know, I have always loved Titus's work. No matter what he writes about, he makes it beautiful, and there's a sensuality to his writing that is just overwhelming sometimes. But I think he did her proud with this, and he comes up with the most beautiful lines, and I can't even sit here and pick one out. The whole thing is absolutely lovely, and I just thank Titus for being the man he is and seeing the beauty where he sees the beauty. And that's fantastic, Titus. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome comment. And Wayne? Wayne, are you still here? Look, oh, I lost him. And hello, Hatter. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Hatter.
I'm so glad you made it.
My Hatter.
And I think Wayne had some guests, and he had to go. So I am going to go to the next poem. I have Frank's on the board. And, sweet, I know you're almost out of time, so after Frank's poem, can you read for Adam Ashes before you go?
I certainly will.
Awesome. Okay, so let's click on Poetic Picasso, and I shall push play.
Your lips are the soft petals of a springtide carnation blossoming. You dance so gracefully like a ballerina upon the morning zephyr, blowing upon the glossy texture of the caressive fibers of your hair, as your eyes enrapture me with a sparkling gleam of redundancy. The sun shines upon your skin, its autumn rays over motley butterflies. Your scent is like the fresh fragrance of an odoriferous perfume I smell. I listen to the sweet hymns of the celestial choir of nightingales, serenading me with the dulcet tone of their sonnets of harmonies. You roam within the maze of the kaleidoscopic realm of light, the illumination of the awakened dawn with its floral seduction, and your tenderness is like a blanket of fine strands of gossamers. I am mesmerized by the incantation of your sublime beauty revealed. The touch of your fingers is the gentle feather of my healing. I want to lay in the bosom of your flowery buds awaiting, like a dream in an animated garden of twinkling radiance. I sleep till the night has slumbered into the spring shade of our love. Respiro tu nombre con mis susurros, eres la cara de la primavera naciente. I breathe your name with my whispers, you are the face of the nascent spring. Oh, I breathe your name with my whispers. You are the face of the nascent spring. In the poem.
Okay, I know that everybody always gets a great kick out of it when he scares us and he pulls in that freaky voice and stuff like that. But I have to say, I really, really like when he taps into his tender side and he brings up the beauty in this one. The soft tone of his voice added to it, in my opinion. I think that there was softness to the images that he provided. I think that I'm trying to find the line. You know how that always happens? There's so many, but here we go. Like a dream in an animated garden of twinkling radiance, I sleep till the night has slumbered into the spring shade of our love. There's such a romantic feel there, gorgeousness. Like I said, I can't deny that, you know, he can bring the darkness and the dramatic reads, and he can blow us away with them. but I in the second stanza, the sun shines upon your skin, its auburn rays over motley butterflies. Your scent is like fresh fragrance of an odoriferous perfume I smell. I mean, it's like by the time we're done and we get through these, it's like every aspect of his senses is delighted by this. So it's an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous poem from start to finish. And I'm about to add the photo that he wrote to. So after you make your comment, refresh, and you'll be able to see what inspired the write. Amazing share, Frank. Thank you so much. Let me get you a comment. Let me go to... what do you think? You haven't commented tonight. You just got here. Hatter?
I was muted. Sorry, unmuted. Frank, this is a romantic poem, and it still has that haunting feel to it. I like the way you started with your lips are the soft petals of the springtime carnation blossoming. You dance so gracefully like a ballerina upon a morning zephyr. And the way he reads it, it's very haunting, like no one else. Very good.
For sure.
And I agree with you. I like the way he doesn't end in that laugh. How you said it was best. not that bad,
side.
Just that. Yeah. It concluded right.
Soon.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Words aren't coming easy for you, right? Sorry.
That's
good,
right. Great comment. And like I said, if you refresh the page, you'll see the image you wrote too. Linda, will you comment, please?
Yes, I will. It was quite a delight to hear Frank do something different for a change. But don't get me wrong, I adore his dark light. But this was just lovely. Beautiful imagery showing his love of spring and great metaphoric style as well. And this verse right here, you roam within the maze of the kaleidoscopic realm of light. The illumination of the awkward dawn and its floral seduction, and your tenderness is like the blanket of a fine strands of gossamers. I am mesmerized by the incantation of your sublime beauty revealed. What a beautiful verse that is. Frank, you did a great job, mi amigo, and I thank you for sharing it. And
awesome.
Deb, I'm going to have to go. I'm being beckoning to the kitchen for some spaghetti making. So I will see you next week.
Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Linda.
Good night.
And my sweet, will you comment and then read for Adam Ashes, please?
Certainly will. I love this. And, you know, Frank makes me swoon even in the darkest of his moments. So this is something beautiful and lovely. And, you know, he's got great imagery and he's got great language. And he just does another fabulous job here. You know, he just has a way of putting words together, whether they're dark and disastrous or sweet and subtle. He just did a really good job.
Awesome comments for an awesome poem. Thank you, everyone. And my sweet, take us away, please.
Of course. And you haven't heard Amadeus in a couple weeks either. Amadeus.
Help me, Amadeus.
Hush. I know. All right. Here
you missed
go.
Him too.
Yeah. Of course, she has to bark the second I'm going to read, right? This is Nature's Force by Adam's Ashes. brilliant strata of universality, birthing from the depth of obsidian, the flaming tongue of creation, meet upon the lush lips of nature's misty breath, bringing the myriad of fauna and flora scent, the windy air of breezing hush, tremble foundations in the brittle steps of us and our consciousness, a faint witness echo and whispered shadow pass as dusk to dawn, the eternal breathing in and out, up and down, the push and pull, transferring majesty of her, an essence which shatters the pillars of earth and swell and roll from the navel, shaking us as dust in the tides, the wake we ride, a vision of halicity, aware and flesh denied, with volcanic crimson arch as brimstone, eruption crumbles, the opaque black quakes. Just lost my place. Where is that? That's awful. Sorry. As arches brimstone, eruption crumbles as the opaque black quakes in her bellowing surge of life, cooling steam of azure oceans, soothing embraced mirror and just the position to roaring silver sky, slate, tempest, storms. We dance in the gray, blinking lull of our lives, the dream and vivid sleep, alive, waking beauty and its fleeting brevity, burn in the forest stokes where renewal comes in time, as the rocky land mass islands, tropical renaissance blossoms bloom in the weaving touch, effortless curls loom, tapestry exquisite, what we know is unknown, yet before our sight, between the shadows and the light, caught in sequence, rippling black, give way to shades and blue frost, meet as cascades under the fabric of time and nature's musing whim, dualities and complexities, infinite and infinitesimal, vibrating through dimensions, shock, epic, Cox in the heavens, timeless, she was always there before the beginning, caring and tending to all there was, is, and will be, gardener of the cosmos, nature's force, and poem. And I should have pre-read that. I am sorry I butchered that, Adam. It was stunning, lovely, impressive language, crazy rhyme, and a huge big wow, 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 and another wow.
I thought you did great, because sometimes it's really hard to read when the board's jumping, and when, to be honest, I have a little bit of a hard time when there's no break in the lines, but the poem, oh my goodness, you're right, it's like amazing.
I should read that like 3 or 4 times.
Well, I would have had to too. I mean, there's words in here like just the juxtaposition. Tremble foundations in the brittle steps of us and our consciousness, a faint witnessed echo and whispered shadow pass as dusk to dawn, the eternal breathing in and out, up and down, the push and pull, transferring majesty of her. There's something so profound in just that, transferring the majesty of her. But I mean, more and more, it just keeps coming. Where did that? We danced in the gray eye blinking lull of our lives, the dream and vivid sleep alive, waking beauty in its fleeting brevity. I mean, this is amazing, impressive. As the rocky landmass islands, tropical resonance blossoms bloom in the weaving touch, effortless. Kairos loomed, tapestries exquisite. I mean, talk about breathtaking wording from start to finish, vibrating through dimensions, shook epochs. epochs. The heavens timeless, she was always there before the beginning, carrying and tending to all there was. A gardener of cosmos, nature's force. I mean, this is like one of the most stunning tributes to nature herself in word that I think he could have came up with. And he wrote to look deep into nature, and then you will understand everything better, by Albert Einstein. And I think that he totally did justice to the quote, to the photo. Very impressive. Adam's Ashes, I thank you for sending that in, and I thank my sweet for reading it. And Cutter, what you think?
Yeah, this is how a free verse should be written. It's a long run on sentence or a thought that continuously brings up visions, different images in your head. I thought he did very well, and the well that he draws his words from is very deep. You can tell, very good poet. This is very well done.
Totally, totally. And Sweet, were you finished? You did your comment first, right? You're good?
Yeah, I did. Sorry, I just went right into it.
No, that's fine. It's cool to get it out when it's fresh in your mind. Just wanted to make sure you didn't have something else to say. Okay, all I have left are three recordings, and the first one is from Sky. So you guys want to click?
Hi, Sweet.
Wait a minute. Sweet. I think you have to go. Is Wednesday, what if?
Wednesday is on with my what if. What?
Go ahead.
What happened? Sounds like she got cut off.
I know. It's just cut her. Maybe.
I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Yeah. Wednesday is what if day, and come on by, and I will actually be there. Unless something world blows up on me, and I think things will be good. What if? Anything about what if? Play the what if game.
I can't wait.
It should be fun.
I actually would like to help myself.
I'm so excited
about it. Yeah. One was just to make you laugh, and then one was, I think, soapboxes. But it was a great topic, so I'm looking forward to that. And all right, so Hatter, I am going to push the poem by Sky. So listen up. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go back and forth. But since we just spoke of Sweet's show on Wednesday, tomorrow night is Raconteur, and he goes live at 11. And his topic is, how far would you go when seeking the truth or keeping a promise, trying to win someone's heart, or avoid being the Pavanis? How far would you go? So that ought to be a really, really variety-filled, interesting show. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern. I'll post the link for both the shows we just mentioned after the show ends. Okay, please click on the poem by Sky.
I don't see it.
If you look right above the poem that was just read, or no, actually it's right after it, you'll see you'll see that Poetic Picasso just said he had to go, and then right above that is three poems, Sky, Gerald, Phil. Those are the last ones. So, do you see them? Yes? No?
I see chat. Titus.
Maybe you should refresh.
Comment. Oh, something jumped. Hold on. Keeps talking. I see Picasso Ashes, Adam's Ashes.
There you go. I just put it again, so just go ahead and click on that one.
Girl in her father's garden. Okay, got it. Okay.
Cool. Okay, here we go.
to a Winthrop Girl and Her Father Gardens by Sky Darkholm. Weeping from walls are splashes of paper inflorescences, the meld of joy parcels and despoiled washes of impressionistic audiences. They pale together like timid flaxen, a summer tanager murmuration, feathered in muted cerise. Those harbor blues and viridian stems, thatched in white veils of creeping clematis, willowy in its sylph-like varnish. And that rainwater, how it buckets in, outside voices of what to do's and how to grieve's, palmed with collapsing heart valves, those June smiles and brazen harbors. But mantled in centered gardens, he still blooms and vows, each plucked moment of time forever sowed in the earth that lies beneath ribs. End poem.
Aww. To a Winthrop Girl and Her Father Gardens. I love that it's a tribute, a dedication. Aww. Weeping from walls are splashes of paper inflorescence, the meld of joy parcels, and despoiled washes of impressionistic audiences. Wow. Where's that? And that rainwater, how it buckets in, outside voices of what to do's and how to grieve's, palmed with collapsing heart valves, those June smiles and brazen harbors, those collapsing heart valves. Man, you get the sense of... that maybe her Winthrop Girl had a loss, and that this is dedicated to maybe lifting her spirits a little. But mantled and centered gardens, he still blooms in the vase. It's like seeing that vase with the flowers from his garden is like spending a little bit of time with him, like having him there. And that's a beautiful sentiment. Each plucked moment of time forever sowed in the earth that lies beneath ribs. I think that this is incredible. And the compassion and love and dedication for the Winthrop Girl, what I'm probably saying that wrong, Winthrop Girl, it is totally evident throughout this rite. It's breathtaking, and wow, I bet you she was very touched by this. Excellent, excellent share, Sky. Thank you so much, Sky, for writing for the show. Such a beautiful piece. I'll have to save it. Heather, what you think?
Yeah, I was reading the author's notes, too, to give it a little more meaning of what she was writing to Longfellow, the best thing to do when it's raining. Just to let it rain. Just simplistic as the feeling, but yeah, well done. I would accuse her of making up words because there's words I would run into the thesaurus for, but I know she's didn't. Yeah, she's got a way of writing that just. Especially her brevity, it sort of just leaves you wanting more or having to read it again and again. That's what I've been doing, reading it again and see if what I missed. Each plucked moment of time, forever sowed in the earth that lies beneath ribs. I think of a joke about women was made for man's rib, but I can't remember it, so I'll spare you.
Okay. It's such a beautiful tribute. Maybe we shouldn't end it with a joke anyway, so you probably weren't meant to remember it. But I had to hold on to that one. It's amazing. And I did just notice that the person that I believe it's written to was extremely touched by it. So Yeah, yeah, okay.
The palms of collapsing heart valves, sublime bovine, right, sweet?
Yeah, impressive. All right, well, we have two poems, and it's just the two of us for the last two poems, so if you want to click on Gerald's, I'll push play.
I saw that one. I'm sure it's there. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, you should see Gerald's and Phil's right at the end, so hit, click Gerald.
Nature's Imprint, written and read by Gerald Green. Nature leaves an imprint, like a fingerprint, an aura on those people who engage, becoming one with the collective. Outsiders cannot see this badge or feel the presence of the natural, not notice how this high society brings order out of chaos with appreciation and new insight into nature's harmony. DNA of carbon-based life forms share a commonality that's little understood. While peacocks strut and people ponder, cycles of life move forward, bringing energy and newness to a tired and aging world. As more is seen and more is known, wisdom soars and understanding grows, like cultivated seed that's sown amidst the fertile field by one who knows.
Wow. Where do I get right? Nature leaves an imprint, like a fingerprint, an aura on those people who engage, becoming one with the collective. I really like the thought of that because in the grand scheme of things, we really are one world, one collective. I love the terminology there. While peacocks strut and people ponder, cycles of life move forward, bringing energy and newness to a tired and aging world. Wow. And the last two sentences there, like cultivated seed that's sown amidst a fertile field by one who knows. I really, really love the direction he took this in. And I can't even call one of them my favorite because each one of the stanzas brings us to the culmination of that ending where amidst the fertile field. But I think I just fibbed. I do know my favorite part. It's the becoming one with the collective. That opening stanza is extremely impressive. So I did lie. That is my favorite stanza for sure. Another awesome write, Gerald. I appreciate it very much. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I'm looking at the author's note. Neo-formalist poetry. Is that what he, is that his, like his file? Does he write under that? What does that actually mean, do you know? Neo-formalist poetry.
Like, what does the phrase mean? Or it's
Well, either. I mean, I think I've seen it before. I just wondered if
I pulled it up. In technicality, it says it's a late 20th and early 21st century movement in American poetry that has promoted a return of the metrical, rhymed verse and narrative poetry. So
so it's a style.
Yeah, it's
collective genre.
Yeah, it's adding the old styles in with the new styles, but I liked it. And it says on the grounds that all three are necessary if American poetry is to complete. So it just you need all the pieces to make it complete. And I think I didn't realize, because I didn't see the author's notes, but I had just said it was like I couldn't take a part of it away because it all was needed to bring it to that closing sentence. So I thought it was awesome.
So it's a complete. It completes the. Yeah, Gerald. I love the way he reads. His voice. It's very narrative. Very comfortable. While peacocks strut and people ponder, cycles of life move forward. You know, a lot of these phrases or stanzas that he writes is very deep. He must think it through before he writes it. I mean, he knows what he's going to write. Sounds terrible. I'm loss of words here. Gil's becoming one of my favorite poets here. They're all good. Nice.
Absolutely. I second that. Okay. So we have one poem left. Hold on a second. Hold on. I bet you that's two. The Wizard of Oz is here. Hey.
Hi, Deb. I was just going to say hello. I don't have a poem, but I was just going to say hello.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of thought you were swamped in a board meeting or something, so I didn't think you were going to get to hear from you.
Well, I have been. Yeah, no, I have been. I've been. I had a series of meetings this morning, and I'm on a plane to Sydney early tomorrow and then into a series of meetings for the next couple of days, so it's going to be hard to get hold of. But I really like Gerald's poem. I really like it because it's subtle. It's not only subtle, but it talks about the intersection and interaction of people. And it talks about, you know, when you have people talking to each other, particularly across cultures and across the world and across different things and places, you get more wisdom and you get more understanding. And I really, really believe in that really strongly. And that's why I believe something like All Poetry is really important, because it gives that ability for people who are in different places and different parts of the world to have a discussion that they otherwise wouldn't have. And I think that's more important for the world than what we might even think, and I think the way that Gerald puts that across in this poem is both subtle but powerful in its subtlety. I really enjoy it.
Hey Pete, let me ask you a question. When I first met you, we had a conversation. I don't expect you to maybe remember it, but when I first got to All Poetry, all I heard was rhyming poetry is passé. It's all been done. It's all been said, you know, blah, blah, you know, and a lot of people wouldn't even take their time to read your stuff if you were a rhyming poet. And this bothered me because I'm a rhyming poet. It was like, man, I'm wasting my time. And you told me that you believed it was a full it's a cycle, and it will come back around. Do you still believe that, or is it on the?
I do, Adam. I actually have the view that it's actually more difficult to write really good rhyming poetry. Yeah, so you can write really good free verse, and that takes a set of doing and a set of understanding. But it's even harder to write really good rhyming poetry than writing free verse, in my view, because you're actually adding a technical layer on top of it, and you're trying to not, if you're a good rhymer, you're trying not to have the rhyme distract from the message. It just happens to be there. So it feels like a free verse poem, but it just happens to have rhyme in it. And so when people sort of say, you know, don't force the rhyme, I sort of agree, but I sort of don't, because I think as a rhyming poet, you've got to go through a process of understanding rhyming, and sometimes that means you spend a bit of time forcing rhymes in, because that's the way you learn. You don't become a outstanding rhyming poet by doing free verse and then swapping to rhyme. It doesn't work that way. You, in my view, you are a rhyming poet, and you have to practice being a rhyming poet, and that means sometimes the first stuff that you write's not what you really want to do, but you have to do it to get through that process to get better. And I think it's really important that if somebody's a rhyming poet, that they rhyme. If they're not 100% happy with how they're rhyming, you keep on practicing until you get better, and the rhymes will become more complex. But you don't just throw it away and decide, I'll just do free verse. I think the world will change. It's a bit like waves, Hatter. Waves come in and waves go out. The minute waves have come in terms of shorter poetry that happens not to rhyme, I think as sure as the waves come in, the waves will go out again. And at some point in the near future, we'll find that longer form poetry becomes sexy and rhyming becomes even sexier.
Yeah, you know, I some of the best comments I've ever received were the ones from free verse poets saying, I tried rhyme and I wasn't happy with it, but after reading you, I'm going to try it again. I think
yeah.
those are the best comments. Yeah. And they're at least accepting the, like you said, it is difficult. It is not easy to rhyme without having that forced line in there.
Yeah.
I am so aware of it. I'm so aware of it. I think I eliminate some that others wouldn't consider forced. But you know, if it sticks in your head as forced, then you're not happy with it and it doesn't get done. Plus, the little tricks you are able to learn by hanging with or reading other rhyming poets, the Elizabethan style of like Shakespeare split up, how you can split your sentence up, like Yoda.
Yeah.
If you speak like Yoda, you can double your rhyming well, that you pull your rhyming words out of.
You're basically using the German verb conjugation, Hatter, where you're basically putting the conjunction in front of the verb, and so it's actually an easier word to rhyme. That's why sort of Yoda style works better for rhyming.
Yeah, and you can get ridiculous. You can almost get ridiculous on cutting up your line, your line, to making sure that one word ends up being your rhyming.
And as you've said before, and I agree with it, you know, you write as a rhyming poet, you write the sentences, and sometimes you might not have a word that fits, and so you don't care. You just keep going, and you get the style and the verb and the vibe, the poem on the page, and if you have to come back and look at a word or two, then that's what you do. But you make sure you get the sense of what you're trying to do on the page, and that's why, for me, you know, the auto rank thing just doesn't come in, because I have a look at the sense of the poem. I want to be happy with the sense of the poem, but care the words that I've used. And if auto rank thinks the words are great, well, that's fine. If it doesn't, well, that's fine too. What I'm trying to actually get across is an emotion or a position, and you know, and if I've got that across, then I've succeeded with the poem.
I think you're right. One of the hardest lessons to learn when you're rhyming is don't get stuck on one verse or two lines trying to rhyme it. Lay it down and continue, go and then come back, because if you've got that idea in your head and it's flowing, you've got a beginning, your body, your storyline, and then your end, they're all important.
Yeah.
Don't get stuck and spend too much time on trying to rhyme.
Yeah. And the other thing for me, the extrapolation of that, is that I never go back and alter an old piece, because I'd much rather gather what was in my head at the time when I'm writing than I would try and re-examine something that I was in before. I think it's just so much more powerful to write in the moment and to write from, you know, where you are at that particular time. And I think it comes across a lot better than going back and trying to, you know, reconstruct something you've already done. But that's just me. But that's my strong view.
Well, no, I understand that too. It's very important. But I do go back and what I call fix or embellished a little more, a little better. You find things that you didn't see back then.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm one that will go back and
yeah,
and it screws up the comments because a lot of times they comment on the line that you've changed. Yeah,
correct. Oftentimes, but yeah, you rarely see that from me because as I said, I'm sort of more a top down poet. I just like to get the overall, you know, verve and sense of something, and if I, you know, I'd rather just that be right than, you know, anything else.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Deb. Didn't mean to take over your show.
No, it's cool. The one point you were making about it coming and going, it's like the trend in clothing. But irregardless of the trend, I think I struggle for free verse. When I'm trying to read it back for myself, it doesn't feel right. And try to force somebody. Yeah, well, like there's some who just can't seem to make it click with rhyme. Well, I wouldn't. I'd say if we stop writing for ourselves and worry about who does or doesn't like rhyme, then we lose something because it's supposed to be about expressing ourselves. And for me, it's easier to express in rhyme. So anybody who tells you you shouldn't,
I'm wrong. I'm taking AP by his word that it's going to come back around and be a little more popular. So yeah,
it doesn't
bother me.
Don't you see all the people that are suddenly at least trying rhyme or including rhyme or alternating with the pre-verse? Like I would never write pre-verse before. Now you could thumb through my stuff and like every 10th or 12th one, there might be a free verse, but it just feels more comfortable for me to rhyme. You got to go with your gut or what else have you got, you know?
Well, it is. If you got that in your head, that rhyming scheme, it's hard for me too to get those first two stanzas down or not, you know, your thought. But I agree with you.
I sometimes try. I think, oh, I might have put this word or I might have put that word in. Because sometimes it's just a matter of changing a word or two to turn it into a rhyme poem. You know what I mean? Anyway. So, R. What's now on the board, AP?
Well, I thought you'd ask. There's an artist called Andrew McElroy here in Australia, quite well known, and he is known to me because I went to university with him. He was the guy who studied psychology and sat in the corner and played guitar, and we sort of sat along and went with him. He turned out he never actually became a psychologist; he became an artist, and so he's got an exhibition up at the minute. That's one of the paintings that was in it, and I was actually just writing a poem to it because I was going to send it to him as a sort of hello, remember we used to know each other singing in the Psychology Student Society common room 35 years ago. And so my way of reaching out was to get one of his pictures, which is one of them, and I've just done a few stanzas to that, Deb.
Well, I bet you he'll be impressed when you...
I do like going over somebody else's work. Like I just did a contest where there were three different poets and there were lines, poems from each one. And that was to be inspired by. And I picked a Banjolin poem.
Yeah.
I do like taking their thought and trying to go along with it or grab what they're trying to say and put it down in words.
Well, Deb, if you're happy, can I just put my quick three stanzas on the board that I've just been playing with for that pick, and then we'll finish off with the final one by first?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Give me one second, though. Real quick, I just want to do a real quick shout that tomorrow night is Raconteur at 11 p.m., and his question prompt is, how far would you go? It says, when seeking the truth or keeping a promise, trying to win someone's heart or avoid being dishonest, how far would you go? So that is his show at 11. And then at A Poetic Slice on Wednesday at 10, they're doing the word luciform, which is an adjective that means resembling light in an appearance and having, in some respects, the nature or qualities of light, luciform. And then after an absence that made all our hearts grow fonder, my dear sweet will be here on Wednesday night with her What If show that had to be postponed. That is also at 11 p.m. Eastern. I'm really looking forward to that show because I know that there's some fun poems in it. So that's the next 2 days' worth of poetry. And show us what you got, AP.
I may have to give you a SoundCloud for Sweet Show because I'm in meetings all day in Sydney and then flying back Thursday our time to late. So anyway, we'll see how we go. But this is what I had to that little piece that sits above there, and it goes a bit like this. Shadows vaguely they step on waves fidgeting through, figures beyond stand as ghosts upon the water's caramel dew, being guided from below off their ship's distant slurry. They wait for a path to clear, stand ready, but not in a hurry. As this brackish froth clears, their bodies to currents reduce, currents ever of distant swells, their murmurs and eaves seduce. End poem.
I like that last line, that the murmurs and eaves seduce. But all the way through, it's the colors, like the waters of caramel dew, and they wait for a path to clear, stand ready, but not in a hurry. I think that he's really going to like this. And I like, if you look at the art, there really is like a beautiful caramel hues in the water there. And the movement of the art goes with the flow in your poem and the rhyme. So I think like as this brackish froth clears, their bodies to currents reduce, there's also like sensual undertones to the movement in the water. So I would like to see the rest of it when you're finished. You said it was only three stanzas, so I assume you're going to continue further. But
no,
it's gorgeous.
I think it probably sits like that, Deb. I was having a look at it. I think it's probably,
Yeah, I was going to say that the only thing I might, if I didn't stop it there, I might have added some kind of when it calms, when it,
sure.
I guess,
sure.
Like a climax,
sure.
Type of thing. But even if you don't,
yeah.
it's gorgeous, like I said, between the rhyme and the flow and the movement and the colors that match the art. I'm sure that your friend would be impressed. What do you think, Heather?
I liked it. I was going to ask you, what do you think is the, how AP writes his style, what do you think is the biggest influence, being the, I don't know if I say that wrong, just wrong. And just, he has a way of writing that I couldn't even try to imitate. He always blows me away. You know, we got 5 minutes left on the air. You got one to fill the poet.
We've got one poem left. Okay, it's all good. But I just think it's you know, look, the most important thing you can do, but any other thing, Hatter, is have your own style.
Yeah.
And when somebody picks up one of your poems and they say, that's yours, yeah? And if you can have a distinctive style that's yours and you can hone that, then that's about as... You know, that's about as much as you can ever do, I think. And if you're happy with that, then you right.
I can pick yours out of a whole slew of poems, except for your game show.
Except
not
for
even,
me.
Except when I hide. Yeah. Except when I hide. Understood.
I'm biting my tongue, but you said it, so. I was going to say, I can pick his style out. But there is definitely an elegance that usually flows through no matter what it is, the topic.
Yeah.
And that's always really impressive. All right, let's get Phil on the air before we run out of time. And I will push play right now. Here we go.
Is a poem by Phil the Poet called Foxgloves and Tails. Lying in a field of foxgloves being tickled by foxes' tails, red and white fur bouncing up and down with every stroke, exposing their stomachs to the girl they have adopted, became part of the skulk, a human with a leash. The pups joyfully play around her shoeless feet, nibbling at the dainty toes that make her giggle, while the vixen watches her children play in the meadow, free from the barks of dogs and the tally-ho brigade. A hedgehog takes a piece of apple from the maiden's hand, curls into a spiky ball when the sly fox begins to sniff, comes out of hiding by the gentle voice of the breeze, filled with the fragrance of summer blossoms. The evening draws on as the sun begins to rest. The girl reads the story to the woodland creatures about how the lion would lie down beside the lamb and a child would lead them among the mountains. The foxes drift off to sleep, dreaming of pleasant fields, while the girl slips away quiet as a field mouse, leaving a trace of a scent to comfort the little ones, to remind them that she will be there always. End poem.
Wow.
Wow. If you peek on the board, Hatter, you see the art that he wrote to. I just added it on there. But yeah, from the cleverness of the title all the way through, let me see, where was that? The pups joyfully playing around her shoeless feet, nibbling at the dainty toes that make her giggle, while the vixen watches her children play in the meadow, free from the barks of dogs and the tally-ho brigade. I thought the wording there was really clever, and I liked it that the vixen watches her children play. And then towards the end, the evening draws on as the sun begins to rest. The girl reads a story to the woodland creatures about how the lion would lie down beside the lamb and the child will lead them among the mountains. I really, really like the little nod to the lion and the lamb there. And the children will lead them among the mountains. This, to me, is sort of like a play on the meek. So I thought it was really beautiful. And the last two lines there, leaving a trace of her scent to comfort the little ones and remind them that she will always be there. And the thought of her always being there is a very hopeful ending. So I thought that he did a brilliant job with it. And the title, Foxgloves and Tails, is quite clever because, you know, you see the fox in the photo. And tails, of course, T-A-I-L-S. Really, really awesome job, Phil. Thank you so much. I really like listening to you read, and I appreciate that you keep sending the amazing poems in. AP, what do you think?
Well, it's a poem of space and of freedom and of joy. And there's no sort of, you know, nasty overtones of what's going on. There's simply a group of critters sort of happy together and behaving themselves, and it's a very relaxed and peaceful and tranquil scene. And it's hard not to think about what's not so tranquil and not so peaceful in the world at the minute. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of what is. And I think it's a really lovely poem.
awesome comment. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I hope, Phil, what I picked up on was the romanticism of a fox hunt. Everybody sees the painting of the jumping over the hedges with the blowing the trumpets and the dogs and everything, but it is a cruel sport. If you think about the poor fox, he's just totally exhausted. And I think he hits on the fox hunt, but he tries to calm it down to where more human-like, but more peaceful. When, like you said, when they lay down, the lion lays down with the lamb. I think this is one of his better ones. It's got deep meaning to it. It really gives that feeling of peace to a vicious sport. I hope that's what he meant. That's what I got out of it. That's about barks of dogs.
Oh. Awesome comment. All right. Well, I am completely blown away by the incredible poetry that came through tonight. And I'm glad you were able to call in, AP. And I would be anxious to hear the comment. You can share the comment from your friend who made the painting that you wrote to.
Yeah.
You share with them. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah, well, look, I haven't sent it to him yet. I literally just sort of finished it while I was saying to Adam, I was sitting in the car waiting for my cleaners to finish cleaning my house, so sitting in the front seat, and I thought 10, 15 minutes here, so I'll just sort of see if I can roll something out. So that was where I was doing it.
Awesome. Well, incredible stuff. I look forward to seeing everyone tomorrow at 11 at Rack Show if you get the chance. And I would like to thank my amazing board members, Hatter and Sweet and AP. You rock. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Angel and Titus and Allie and Frank and Gerald and Wayne and Phil and Sky and Linda and Adam. All the poetry tonight was fantastic, great variety, beautiful imagery, and tons of emotion tonight. I mean, I almost cried for a couple of them, Sweet Peas, Linda's. I mean, really incredible stuff. I appreciate you all from the bottom of my heart, and I look forward to the next show with you. And just one last quick nod. As a little, next week on my show on the 27th, I have a whole bunch of pictures of some really stunning bridges from all over the world. And the theme is A Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And there's the song, and there are some quotes from it. And choose your art and show me what you got. Look forward to it. And on that note, what do you want to hear us go out with, Hatter?
How about Alice by Shinedown?
Okie doke. Cool. Sounds like Shinedown it is. And here we go. Her name was Alice. Okay. Love and respect to you all. Here we go.
Thanks, Dave. Good to hear, Adam.
Thank you.
Talk soon.
Yep.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. And the girl that chased the rabbit, drank the wine and took the pill, has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels to stand outside your virtue. No one can ever.
You see?
I don't think the ice cream man likes me.
He doesn't even come here, so it feels special.
He doesn't even look down. He just goes the other way all the time. Oh, man, I hear him one of these days. Thanks, Deb.
Right. All right, well, we are out of here. Glad you were able to make it, Hatter.
Me too.
Love and respect. Night, everyone.
Bye, sis.
Bye, big brother.